Well, before we do anything else, let's do the most important thing and let's ask God to help us understand His Word. Let's pray together. Father, we come before You as a people who need to be corrected. We come here today because we want to please You. And so we ask that You would teach us how to do that. Lord, where there are hard hearts, we ask that You would soften us. We pray that Your Word would pierce us. Give us Your wisdom, please, Jesus. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Okay. Well, we're looking at the book of Proverbs, as we already heard. And it's a great book, let me tell you. How many of you know people that read one proverb every day? 31 proverbs. Generally, there are 31 days in the month, so it's a great book to kind of read and reread all throughout the year. Lord willing, as we read it, it makes us wiser. Proverbs. Here's some proverbs that I stumbled upon this week. You ready for this? To believe in one's dreams is to spend all of one's life asleep. That's a Chinese proverb. Here's another one. Ready? Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. This one is a proverb, but I'm pretty sure it's not true. I can prove it. There's only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it. Part of that's true, but the other part is it's Olive. Is no, I'm just kidding. Only joy scatters a hundred griefs. A crane. Here's this. Don't ask me. I'm just going to tell you what one proverb I found was. Don't ask me about it, okay? Because I don't have any answers about this one. A crane standing amidst a flock of chickens. That's the proverb. Here's another one. Don't ask. A camel standing amidst a flock of sheep. Don't know. That's a Chinese proverb. Here's some Greek proverbs. If you were to... These originated in Greece. The beginning is the half of every action. Interesting. Here's a good one. Who ceases to be a friend never was one. A heart that loves is always young. Don't ask about this one either. I suppose we could say some things, but when at a loss how to go on, cough. Perhaps that's what people do when they go to the doctor. I don't know what's wrong. Here's some Italian proverbs. This is a good one. A little man often casts a long shadow. Short has its... Our last garment is made without pockets. Hunger... Oh, I love this one. This is so true. Hunger is the best sauce. Got it? You got it? I like that one. Here's a Japanese proverb. A man in love mistakes a pimple for a dimple. Here's the deal. We could spend days just reading proverbs from around the world. Seriously. And a lot of them we would go, and some of them we would go, wow, that's really true. The Confucius sayings, right? There's how many of those are there? In every culture, there are wisdom sayings in every culture. Wherever you go, you will find some collection somewhere of what the wise have said. In Russia, it may not be short, but you find it in writings like Dostoevsky and things where there's a treasure trove of wisdom sayings in every culture. For us, as believers in an almighty God, where is that treasure trove? One guess. What? In the pages of our Bible, and specifically in our Bible, where is that treasure trove? In the book of Proverbs. This is such a brilliant book. It's so wonderful. It's been so neat studying this. There are Proverbs that are just fun to read. Here's what Proverbs 11:22 says. You think some of the ones that we've been reading are spicy, but listen to what these are like. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You know? And these Proverbs are short. You have proverb after proverb after proverb, and they're very short, but they pack a large punch. What is being said in that proverb? A gold ring in a pig's snout? Is it talking about the woman or the man becomes a pig? Maybe. Is it talking about how the fact that a woman that entices a man is like a ring because that's how you control a pig? You can take a pig and control him with the gold snout, perhaps? There's so much being said in these proverbs. Here's another one. Let a man meet a she-bear. This is Proverbs 17:12. Let a man meet a female bear, a she-bear, robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. It's better to meet a bear that just had its cubs stolen than a fool in his folly. Think about that. This one comes up several times in the book, or something like it. It is better to live in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. That's men's favorite one. Here's another good one. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish and will not even bring it back to his mouth. Laziness. So lazy they won't even bring back the food to their mouth. Well, I'm looking at this book and I've been praying over this for a couple weeks, thinking about Proverbs. You have a book with hundreds of small sermons, just one after the other. I mean, we could, just like every other book, I always say this, but I'm telling you, Proverbs is very unique because each verse packs such a large punch. How do we go about looking at this with one sermon? I believe this is what God has called us to be doing for the next year or so. So we need to be faithful in doing this. So pray that this works out. There are seven categories that we can label Proverbs in. You can put them in seven different categories. I'm gonna talk here. Ready? The first category is identity. It is the category of equivalence. This is like this, or so as, blah blah blah. The second one is non-identity, or contrast, blah blah blah. Third, there is a category called similarity. This is similar to this, just as this is like this. And so you have the first line and then it's similar to the second line. There's a category of absurdity, classification, valuation, consequence. There are four major ways to not interpret, but to see the Proverbs. And I'm just going blah, blah, blah like this because this is how we can categorize every proverb that ever has been written. And so while I'm looking at the book of Proverbs, I find that these categories are kind of useless because it doesn't tell me anything new. It doesn't tell me how Proverbs is unique among wisdom literature. It doesn't tell us anything different. You can put the the book of Proverbs and all the wise sayings up against these other sayings, and they're very similar. So the question that we have to ask is, what about Proverbs is any different than the wisdom that we find in every other culture? And we could spend days talking and categorizing and, oh, this is like this, and this is like this, and yeah, so? You wouldn't believe how many commentaries just, and it's good because we need to study this stuff, but just categorize stuff. But that doesn't help us. What does that tell us? Except that's what this is like. Are you following or am I? You following? Alrighty. So, let's just start in chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, we'll start in chapter 1. Oh, I'm excited. Proverbs chapter 1, it says this in verse 1, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand the words of insight. So the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. First of all, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Shlomo, Solomon. Shlomo in Hebrew. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. However, he didn't write every proverb in the book. Most of them, which we'll see, you won't argue with me if you think, oh no, you're bringing away the authority of Scripture by saying Solomon didn't write everything. No, it says that Solomon didn't write everything, but most of it is written by him. And I think the most important parts are written by Solomon. To know wisdom. This book was written so that we might know wisdom. It starts out, so we can know wisdom. The first chapter is an introduction into this book, and some people say that this outlines the rest of the book. It very well might. I think that's a good statement. This probably outlines how the book unfolds. Would you turn to chapter 2? And I want you, I'm going to be reading with you, and I want you to put on your study ears. And I want you to see if you can come up with a theme in this book, okay? Besides wisdom. There's another theme in the book. It's not just wisdom. It's not just all about wisdom. But I want to see if you can come up with it because it kind of hit me between the eyes this week. Verse 1 of chapter 2, it says this, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. First of all, who is this written to? Who is this written to? My son. Apparently, can we all agree that it was written to his son? Some son, a son of some kind? My son. My son. That phrase is repeated. My son. My son. Keep that in mind. Would you turn to chapter 2, verse 16? So in this, what we just read and what we will be reading, this is a father's advice to who? His son. Fathers, this would be great advice to give your sons. Look at verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good, and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Keep that in mind. We're going to skip to chapter 3. Everything that I just read, memorize it. Now, chapter 3. Look at verse 13 with me. And we are continuing in the father's advice, okay? verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Go back to chapter 2 for a second. Let me start with verse 16. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth. Chapter 3, verse 14, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. Now go to chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. Now go to chapter 5, verse 1. Are you guys seeing a pattern? You seen it? Chapter 5, verse 1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom and incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to a death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the paths of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan. When your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. Look at verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Do you know what that's referring to? Don't go to your neighbor's wife. Go to your own well. Son, should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. What's the pattern? There's two she's. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. And I'm skipping, not that this pattern doesn't continue, it continues all the way through, but these are the contrasts. Verse 20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you wake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light, and the reproof is a discipline, are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman. From the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your youth. Excuse me, in your heart. And do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. What are we seeing? What's this book all about? Go to chapter 8. Verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Just a second. Look at me. I, wisdom. Is that a man or a woman? It's a woman. I, wisdom. And all those who love me, I love. So in this book, what are we seeing? Two women. There's two women. My son. The crown of this. Go to chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She also has set her table. She has set out her young woman. If you weren't able to see it before, she is said over and she, wisdom, she has done this. She has done this. Wisdom, she has done this. There is a woman being talked about in this book. Yeah. Verse 13, or 12, excuse me. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Verse 13, the woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn to in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol, or hell. This is the introduction to the book. If you look there at chapter 10, do you have a heading in your Bible? What does it say? The wisdom of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon. These are now what we are going to come upon. What, when we just read right there, who wrote that? Solomon. My son. The Proverbs of Solomon. But now we come to a section that's titled The Proverbs of Solomon. This section was inserted after many years. After Solomon had already compiled the other part, other people compiled his writings, put them together, and stuck them in the book. And it's a good thing, because now we enter into the section that is just like every other Proverbs that we see in the world. A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from the death. From death. And we have these sayings that pack a large punch, right? But what we just read before that, what was that? It's in the book of Proverbs. I would consider it Proverbs. However, there's large sections that need to go together, aren't they? But now we enter this section, or we could take all of these sayings and read through them and spend years. And this section goes on and on and on and on until we get to the end of the book. More Proverbs of Solomon, chapter 25. 26. Chapter 30, the words of Agur. The words of Agur, son of Jakeh, the oracle. That's chapter 30. In other words, there is a section here written by somebody else. They compiled all these powerful punches and put them in the book, and they sandwiched them between what I believe was the whole thing that Solomon wrote together. He compiled this thing together. Chapter 31. Do we know what chapter 31 is all about? It's about a woman. So we're back to the first chapters, aren't we? Read with me. Chapter 31, verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with her willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchants. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. This woman is an excellent what? Wife. And it really is. And ladies, that's a good thing. You should strive to be like this woman. But I propose to you, in this book, what is it functioning as? Is it a woman? This is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom being pure and simple, what? Wisdom. Wisdom in this book is shown as a woman. And in the end, the son is told, you must marry what? You must marry Wisdom. At the beginning, it's like, you must date Wisdom. At the end, no, an excellent wife for you is Wisdom. Not the adulteress. Now, is Solomon actually talking about real women when he talks about the adulteress and he talks about Lady Wisdom calling from the top of her lungs for the young man? On one level, perhaps, because a young man would what? He would totally relate to it. Are you kidding me? Young man, listen to me. You see these women. You know what I'm talking about, these two women. And you want this one, not this one. And I've seen a man that lacks discretion and he walks towards this other woman. But you must walk towards this woman. And so the wisdom here is being told in a way that the young man can understand it. You must, in other words, this whole book is built so that the young man sees wisdom like he sees what? An excellent wife. You know how attractive a godly woman is? That's what wisdom is like. Now, that's what this book is doing. It's brilliant. And it communicates on two levels. And most of us, I'm with you, I only saw the plain value one where it's like, oh yeah, don't go to the seductress woman and don't, you know, I got to stay away from that stuff. That's all true. But there's a deeper meaning here between wisdom and the wisdom of this world. Which means this is written not just to young men. This is for all of us. Wisdom is attractive, like a beautiful woman, a godly woman. In other words, this book is written to show wisdom as something that we must earnestly seek. Now, this is very curious to me, because how does one become wise? As you get older, you become more wise, yeah. How can we become more wise? Through God's Word. You know, you start reading these Proverbs and you think, man, I wish I could write something that cool in such just 4 or 5 words. Man, I wish I could be more wise. And yet Solomon is saying, this is it right here, ready? Solomon is saying, men, women, the world, you have a choice between wisdom and no wisdom. Just as you can choose a woman or reject a woman, you can choose wisdom. That is counter wisdom literature in the rest of the world. You would not find any other culture saying, just choose wisdom. You would find them saying, I am wise, you are not, learn from me. Yet Solomon is saying, no, there's a choice in the matter. You have a choice. You can just simply choose wisdom, like you choose a wife. Choose her. You're sitting here thinking, I want to be wise. How can I just choose wisdom? How can we just choose it? You can only choose it so as you understand godly wisdom. You know what godly wisdom is? You know what this book teaches about godly wisdom and what it really is at its heart? What is wisdom? Wisdom. What is the beginning of wisdom? As I hope many of us know. What is the beginning of wisdom? The beginning of wisdom. Would you turn to Proverbs 9. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Underline it. If you don't have your own Bible, still underline it. They need to know it too. 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. You see, the world bases wisdom upon wisdom. Wisdom is just that's really, oh, that's cool to the mind. You know, that sounds really neat. And, oh, it did a gymnastics in my mind. Awesome. That's wise. Godly wisdom bases it upon God. And to the rest of the world, what? That's total foolishness. No, wisdom isn't about God. Wisdom is just, you know, God is wise. So, okay, perhaps you could learn from God and you could do things in a cool way that would be wise. No, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Wisdom, I'm going to say it again, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Boy, this is a tough concept today. Yeah, really, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But if we could just get that part, I think would somebody just get that one part? The fear of the Lord. How do we choose wisdom? The fear of the Lord. This concept of fearing the Lord, it's everywhere. The actual phrase, the fear of the Lord, occurs 24 times in our Bibles. However, In the book of Proverbs alone, it occurs 11 times. Almost half of the occurrences in our Bible are in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the backbone of wisdom. And if we want to be godly people, if we want to be more than godly, wise people, we have to have that understanding, the fear of the Lord. When's the last time you thought about that concept? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. Think about it. It says it right there. The fear of the Lord. What does it mean to fear the Lord? What? Study His Word. What's your... To hate evil. Good, that's right there. To trust Him. I want to pack a large punch into a small message here. All these are right. But I suggest that the fear of the Lord is fear of the Lord. Do we fear Him? Now, I know some of you may be thinking, I don't think we need to fear God. And some people take this to a very unhealthy extreme. But, you know, fear of the Lord, I don't know. Well, hold on a second. It says it. I love children's books. And one of the best examples of the fear of the Lord is found in the Chronicles of Narnia. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Love this book. I'm going to read you a portion of the book. If you don't know anything about this book, it's a book about talking animals and children talking to the animals. And there's a section in the book where the sons of Adam, that means humans, they're in Narnia. You guys, you know the book? I love it. Are you in this one? Oh, good for you. So, they're in Narnia, and they're staying with some beavers, and talking with the beavers. And the beavers are wise. These guys, they know what's up. And Susan is a young lady there who is asking a question about seeing Aslan. And they don't know anything about Aslan at all. Aslan in the book, I would say it's safe to say Aslan represents Jesus Christ, our God, our Savior. Now, Lucy's asking a question, and then Susan chimes in, and the beaver is very wise. Here's how the conversation goes. The beaver says, "You'll understand when you see him, Aslan." "But shall we see him?" asked Susan. In other words, shall we actually see the king of the beasts, the king of this land? "Why, daughter of Eve, that's what I brought you here for. I'm to lead you where you shall meet him," said Mr. Beaver. And then Lucy asks, is he a man? "Aslan? A man?" said Mr. Beaver sternly. "Certainly not. I tell you, he's the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Don't you know him? Aslan is a lion. The lion. The great lion." "Oh," said Susan. "I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion." "That you will, dearie. Make no mistake," said Mrs. Beaver. "If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly." "Then he isn't safe?" said Lucy. "Safe?" said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. Our God, he's scary. And I think we're scared of thinking of him as scary. Really? Oh, we can't think of him as a scary thing. But that's because we missed that second part of what Mrs. Beaver said. No, he's not safe. No. He's a lion, an untamed lion. But he's what? But he's good. He's good. He is scary. But he's good. You get that? Our God is scary. But those that know him know that he's good. But the fact that he is awesome and holy and righteous and the God of the universe should cause us to have a fear, a healthy fear of him, like, oh, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we could just get that down, the fear of the Lord. Now, imagine with me, you're about to make a decision. You're going to either sin or not sin. I'm trying to decide whether I should sin or not sin. I don't know. And this debate goes on in your head. And let me just tell you, when you're debating, you're not wise. There is no wisdom in that. But when the fear of the Lord is in the back of your mind, there's no debate. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to do that thing. No way. I can't. The fear of the Lord causes us to be wise. And all of a sudden, oh my goodness, you just chose wisdom. Choosing wisdom between these two ladies, apparently we have a choice, means understanding that God is in the room with you at all times. That's a scary thought. He's in here today. I've been shaken. Like, I don't want to speak something he doesn't want me to speak. I'm talking about wisdom. Somehow I'm going to talk about wisdom. All I know is when I really acknowledge the fact that he's with us in this room and he's watching over us, boy, I want to choose my words carefully. Even my thoughts. That is the choice. You either choose to acknowledge his presence with you daily, or you ignore him. The person that ignores him is the one that's walking down the street to this seductive woman. The one who throws off, I don't care, I'm just going down this path. You have no fear of the Lord, do you? And it's not a bad thing to fear him because we know that he's good. We can trust him. So the first thing that I want to say about wisdom from this book is this. Wisdom is founded, it must be founded, it is based on a belief in God. Those who continually struggle with I keep falling into this, or do you really believe that God is there? That God is real? Because if we would just, God is real. It's a real thing. This is real. That fear is natural. So it's founded in a belief in God. The fear of the Lord requires us to believe that he exists, correct? So wisdom is based on a belief in God. And I pray that we all are in agreement here. We all believe that God exists. Secondly, wisdom requires us to acknowledge God in every decision we make. If there were a lion in the room, I would find it difficult to think about anything but the fact that there was a lion in the room. And I suspect all of us would be thinking about that lion. And everything that happens would be related to how that lion is going to respond. Right? How is he going to respond if I jump towards him? If I do something? My goodness, everything would be captivated with that healthy fear. In other words, every decision we make, we have to process it through God's eyes. How will he respond? How will he see this? Will he be happy or will he be... Wisdom requires us to acknowledge God in every decision. Thirdly, the fear of the Lord. Wisdom requires us to make decisions based on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who gave everything for us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, God is good. He gave Himself for us. Everything on the cross. And the one who does not choose wisdom ignores Jesus Christ and His Lordship. Is He Lord of your life? Is He your Lord, the one that determines your next action? Are you following me? See, this is such a cool book because it shows us we can choose to be wise. Just like that, you can walk out of here wiser. But it's only possible if you choose to acknowledge God in your decisions and that He exists and that He's your Lord. And therein lies the beginning of wisdom. That's an awesome thing. Our God is dangerous, but He's good. He's so good. Would you pray with me? Our Father, we come before You and we ask that You would help us to understand what it means to fear You. You would humble us where we need to be humbled. But at the same time, Lord, we ask that You would cause us to know that You are good, that You gave Yourself, You gave Your Son. We pray that we would not be a people who walk around determining our own wisdom, doing whatever we want, but that we would acknowledge You. We give You ourselves now. We pray that You would work in us, that Your Holy Spirit would fill up where my words lack. In Jesus' name we pray this. For His glory, amen.